Good morning and welcome to your Better Lawn and Garden program. Some questions pop up at various times of the year, and I thought it might be fun to have a few of them answered today. Teresa and I'll do our best to answer them for you. If you have some, you can call us, of course. There may be some you have too, and it might spark others, so who knows. One very common question is about the care of hydrangeas. Gardeners are often confused about when to prune. The wrong pruning time means you may get only a few blossoms, if any. We'll have some other suggestions for you, too. Also, it's been a wet week for me, and even though I don't turn down rain, it's getting a bit too wet for some plants. I had seeds in the ground that, they just rotted. It's partially because of me. Well, maybe, and we'll talk about it. I have a few other rain problems, too. Good morning again. I'm Tom McCubbin, your host of Better Lawns and Gardens, along with Teresa and Joni. We're here for you, and I'm an extension agent emeritus with the University of Florida. Have some books on the market. Go ahead and get up online, put either my name in or Teresa's name, and you'll get some of our books, that's for sure, which will make your gardening day more enjoyable. Thanks for stopping by for this hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. We're waiting your phone calls at 407-916-5400, or you can text us at 23680. It's a good time to have that gardening question answered, by the way. Hour number one, Ed Thralls joins us from the Orange County Extension Center. He will have a garden update for us, for sure, but I've asked him to discuss the care of citrus at this time of the year. Due to the greening disease, we don't often talk about citrus anymore. So we'll get this update, and we'll find what we need to do now. Ed will have the answers, and Joni's going to be talking about sneezing a little bit, what makes a sneeze. Hour number two, Teresa's guest is Emma Biggs, a 15-year-old author, radio show host, speaker, and grower of over 100 tomato varieties in 2020. We can't wait to hear her story. She's a daughter of Steve Biggs, who was with us just a few weeks ago. Reminds me of my early days. Web page is up for September. I have a feature on Florida's different gardening situations here. A critter got my pineapple. We'll talk about that. Poinsettia care. And Joni has the oxbeal story. Get up on our website, betterlawns.com. Now, here's how to get in contact with us during the program today. You can call us at 407-916-5400, or you can text us at 23680, and we'd be happy to help you out. Right now, Kelly Velez is at the controls in the studio, and we'll be answering your calls. Teresa, Joni, and I are hosting this program from our homes. And good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
Joni's here, too. Hope you all had a good week. I'll give you my trash can report. Only 6 trash cans of weeds put out for composting this week. So I must have
You're slacking.
Behind.
You're slacking.
Oh, I'm slacking off. I've already got 2 filled up right now. You know, with all this rain, what's growing well is the weeds. I'll tell you. I see them getting bigger and popping up. I don't know. Kelly, you got any weeds in your yard?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
if you didn't have
Tony's been weeding in the garden this week, and he had a couple of bags of weeds this week. We don't have a set named can for the weeds, but we do put them in plastic bags by the road.
Oh, we have our own. Yeah. If Kelly didn't have any weeds in his yard, I was going to invite him over. He could help us out with mine. Now we got about 6 inches of rain within the last, I think, 3 days, actually. So it's just been pouring. I know some people got more than that. But anyway, it's been raining. I love the rain, but some plants are starting to become too wet. And, Teresa, have you noticed that? Yes.
Ooh. Oh,
I don't know whether we've lost contact here or not.
Let's check her out. Let's see.
Yeah,
it looks like we lost her just for a second. She's coming back.
Okay, good. Well, she'll be back. Well, anyway, let me tell you, I have seeds that have rotted in the ground. And I planted them out about 3 or 4 days ago. They didn't start to come up. There are seeds that come up quick, squash and cucumbers. And what happened was I dug down, and the seeds are just rotting. And so that happens from time to time. Here's something else that I have. Containers have drainage holes, but they're plugged with roots right now. And so when we have that, the pot just floods. You get 6 inches of rain over a couple of days, and you'll see the plants floating in there. So make sure that your drainage holes are open if you have container plants. Soil splashed up on vegetables. and the plants have now, in many cases, been beat down. Now, some of this is my fault because I did not put a mulch over the soil. I've got a good reason for not doing that, and I didn't put the mulch there because I had weeds coming up that I wanted to get under control, so I didn't put a mulch down. But I'm learning. Never too late to learn about gardening. Did we get Teresa back with us?
I am back. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is that's going on. So, you know me, I'm not technical.
Well, about two weeks ago, we just lost me. All of a sudden, I thought it was me again today. I thought I was there talking to myself.
It's happened a couple of times this morning, so I'm going to stay with it, and I'll just reconnect.
Okay. If we don't hear from you, we know you're out doing something else. You probably left and went and got a bagel this morning or something. I don't know. But anyway, does the rain cause you problems also?
For cable, you mean, or just?
It's just in the garden.
Oh, in the garden. Oh, yes. You know, it just gets so wet, and they just start to rot. But I'm telling you, my tomatoes our tomatoes and peppers are doing great. They love it.
But my poor peppers got flooded, so they're struggling. But they're going to come through. But the tomatoes do look great. That's for sure. Like I say, I think some of it's my problem. I don't turn down the rain, but you know there are times when we can have some problem with it. That's for sure. Now, what I put together, and Teresa, you may have some too. Some of the common questions that we get from time to time, and one of them I've been getting lately is about pruning hydrangeas at this time of the year. And I am thinking you better get it done if you're going to do it. What do you think?
I'm still kind of tentative. I wouldn't do it. I always do prune hydrangeas after they bloom. So, you know, that's back in July, August, a little late. It just depends on how big they are. If they're small, I don't think I'd prune them back.
No, but that's why I say you better get it done if you're going to do it, because they're going to be forming their flower buds for next year soon. And what a lot of people do is they wait till late, or here's even worse, they wait until the springtime and then prune them back. And there goes your flower buds.
Well, I was talking to a client yesterday, and she was saying that her Confederate jasmine has never bloomed, and she cuts it every couple of months, and so it's never going to bloom if they cut it on a regular basis, because they need to have time to form the flowers.
Yeah, a lot of plants are like that, and you just got to give them some time to grow. And azaleas are another one that people prune back quite frequently. And so if you keep hitting them back to the same size, you may not get the flowers or you get few flowers anyway.
Well, a good sign of it is azaleas blooming on the inside. If you see azaleas blooming on the inside and not on the outside of the shrub, then you're pruning it too much.
Yeah, good thought, good thought. Here's another one I have on this. This is another question I get. I just got this one not too long ago. My hibiscus have grown tall with a few flowers. When should they be pruned? When do you prune your hibiscus?
I prune them in August, but now's a good time. I mean, we've got a couple of months before, and they bloom all year round. So I would definitely say do it now so that it hardens off before the winter time.
Yeah. You see, what I call grooming is what I do on hibiscus at this time, because I don't know what Mother Nature is going to do. Going through the wintertime, hibiscus struggle sometimes. Sometimes they're frozen back. So I do major pruning in February.
Yep.
And right now you can do grooming. If you need to thin them out, you need to cut a few stems back, you can do that. But I don't do major pruning at this time.
Well, I do major pruning in February and August.
Yeah, well, that's fine. You know, everybody, there's the right way, the wrong way, and my way. most of us have my way. So you know, you have your way.
You're the boss.
You have your way. I have my way, your way. You know, anyway, okay, here's another one. It says, my banana has started to flower but is now dropping off the blooms without setting any more of them. What care is needed? Well, this is pretty normal. Banana's only going to set so many flowers to start off with, right?
Right. I mean, they don't need to be pollinated, so they will set fruit on the edible ones. Now, the wild ones need pollination, but the edible ones don't. So there's something going on. Possibly it's having a little bit of fruit, or it's already fruited one time, and it's not going to do it again, so it's going to drop out anything that's extra.
Yeah, well, you know, how many hands of fruit the plant sets depends on the care that it's been given. And if you haven't been given any care, you know, a lot of gardeners, as soon as they see that flower coming out, say, wow, it's time to fertilize. It's been time to fertilize right along. And so if you haven't been giving your banana good care, it's not going to set that many hands of fruit. It's going to drop the flower buds off, and you're not going to get very much. So my recommendation is to keep fertilizing it lightly, March through October, and then in the winter you can back off. Here's a common one also. I have large patches of declining grass. Is this brown patch? Probably not right now, but it might be take-all root rot.
I'm seeing a lot of take-all root rot with the rain.
Yeah, it just gets worse. And not a whole lot you can do. It's too late. You just wait and see if the grass can recover during the wintertime. You can put a fungicide down, but it's probably already taken out the grass.
Yep.
And take-all root rot is a very weak pathogen, but it's just waiting for the right conditions. Poor pH, other organisms, and like you said, lots of rains. Okay, here's one for you, Teresa. I have planters and the summer flowers have died. What should I plant now?
your fall and winter flowers.
Isn't it too early for some of the fall?
It's you can plant chrysanthemums, and you can start, you know, your zinnias and all your flowers that are orangey. I like to put out the fall colors, the burgundies and the oranges, but it's a little too early for your winter flowers like pansies and stock and alyssum and things like that. But they're in the nurseries. Being for sale, but I stick with warm season until probably about the end of October, and then I kind of gauge the temperatures.
Sounds good. I wouldn't even put out any petunias right now either.
No.
Yep. Tell you what, it's break time, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ed Thralls is going to be with us. I have a bunch more questions. We'll try to get some of those in. Plus, I have one that somebody emailed me that I've really got to get in today. But anyway, we're going to take a break, and Ed Thralls will be back with us. So if you want to text us, feel free to at 23680. You might hold off calling right now. So we'll be back. I'm Tom McCubbin. It's Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
This year, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is everywhere. Every suburban sidewalk, every busy avenue, every scenic path, everywhere. All of us are raising funds for one goal: a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia. Because this disease isn't waiting, neither are you. Take the first step on your walk right now. Go to alz.org/walk and join the movement.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as 1 day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as 1 day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as 1 day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
800-948-5749. 800-948-5749. That's 800-948-5749.
Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.betterlawns.com. Better Lawns and Gardens with Tom McCubbin. We'll be right back.
Did you ever dream that home ownership could be possible starting at just $1,323 a month? And on top of it includes appliances, blinds, and more? That dream is now a reality. Introducing the Horizon Collection by Lennar Homes, a new limited-release collection of attainable single-family homes located in St. Cloud, Florida. Learn more today at Lennar.com/horizon or call 866-645-8411. Home ownership is within reach.
Have you ever had this problem at a big box hardware store?
Hello? Anyone?
I'm on break.
At Tools Ace Hardware, you'll never have that problem. Summer paint project? Tools now carries Benjamin Moore premium paint. Then reward yourself with a job well done by firing up a brand new grill with Tools selection of brand name grills like Weber and Big Green Egg. With 11 family-owned locations in Central Florida with curbside pickup available, Tools Ace Hardware wants you to get in, get help, and get on with your life. T-O-O-L-E-S, acehardware.com.
Time's running out to win $1,000 a day for life from Publishers Clearing House. Enter at PCH.com and you and your family could soon be celebrating the win of a lifetime. Don't miss your chance to win $1,000 a day for life on October 31st. Go to PCH.com before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Better hurry if you want the next big winner to be you. Enter now at PCH.com. Entries due 10/28. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Good morning to you. Do you know, do you realize that we're almost at equal day and night? I was looking at the data this morning. The sun comes up at about 7:09 and the sun sets at 9:33. And so we're almost at equal day and night. Do you realize that, Teresa? Yep, Joni, you realize?
Yeah.
The sun just kind of coming up on us here, which is kind of nice. So anyway,
yes.
Before you know it now, it'll be time, about the second week in October, it'll be time when the poinsettias, calanchoes, and naturally the chrysanthemums start setting their flowers.
Wonderful to see that.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of neat when we have them.
Yeah.
I've got text message I want to do, and then we'll get to Ed. It says, I have a nectarine tree that is 4 years old. It is covered with blooms every spring. It never sets fruit. What am I doing wrong? And it's from Larry. And Teresa, I think in this case, it's probably the wrong nectarine variety.
It may be. I mean, you got to make sure that it's, you know, a cultivar for the state of Florida.
Yeah, and one that for wherever they are, for instance, if you're in Central Florida, we're talking about 50 hours, maybe 100 cold hours. If you're in North Florida, you're talking, you know, maybe 200 or
200.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're if it's not fruiting, and we've had 4 years, we've had some warm winters also. So my guess is it's the wrong variety for us here. So that's what I'm thinking.
That's one of the things of getting, you know, plants online. You should buy locally so you get cultivars that are good for this area from nurseries.
Yeah, and go after a variety. Don't just go after a nectarine tree. Go after a variety, whatever
right.
It might be. Let's get Ed in. What do you say? Our good friend Ed Thralls. Ed Thralls is the University of Florida and Orange County residential horticulturist at the Orange County Extension Center, who visits with us, and he's at the Extension Center today. Ed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Teresa. And I guess Joni there?
Yep.
Yes.
Hey, Joni, good morning.
Good morning.
So if you make a mistake, Joni will tell you, okay?
Okay. I know I can count on her.
No.
So how's the garden doing today?
Garden's doing pretty well. We had almost 3 inches of rain the other night. They got about 4 inches at the airport, and I thought they were going to be beat down pretty bad. But actually, they're doing well, and I've actually harvested a couple of the Spanish peppers, the Padron peppers, and they are fairly tasty. You get a surprise every once in a while, though. One of them is fairly hot. And we've got tomatoes with flowers on them right now. Still have some southern peas and okra hanging on from the summer garden, as well as some tropical pumpkin. And we've ordered the beans, collards, cabbage, broccoli, beets, radish seeds a couple of weeks ago, and we expect them in very shortly.
Very good. So what warm season crops can we still plant?
Oh, you can still plant tomatoes and peppers and beans and oh, squash you can put out or sometimes for that. Both pole beans and bush beans will do well right now. And if you want to plant pumpkins for Halloween, it's probably too late for that.
Yeah, I think so. Go get them at the store. I see them at the store already. Hard to believe. How about cool season crops?
Wow. I'm glad you mentioned that. Day lengths are starting to change. You've already mentioned that in your last segment. And I noticed when I got out of the door, it was darker this morning than it has been in a while. I left about the normal time, I think. But I'm going to be starting seeds for the cabbage family crops next week, and that'll be cabbage and collards, broccoli, cauliflower, because I've only got about 4 weeks, and I'll be planting them out in the garden, and that'll give them enough time to get to size. I've had some luck with growing beets as transplants. I need about a 2-inch container to start them in so I don't stunt the root system, but I'll be putting some of those out as well. I'll buy onions that are transplants from out of state late next month. And strawberry transplants will probably be in Plant City around November. So it's time to start thinking about the cool season garden.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
I know. I can't wait to plant beets again. Teresa, do you ever spec citrus trees in your designs? Because we don't hear a whole lot about them anymore.
Only if the clients ask for it and I tell them, you know, it's a 5 to 6 year prospect. You know, you're not going to see the 20 to 30 year old citrus trees anymore. So it will get citrus greening really fast.
Yeah. Ed, what about citrus?
Oh, wow. There isn't a whole lot to say about citrus. I'm not jumping up and down about it. They've really taken a hard hit in the backyard. Commercially as well, we know it's really bad for them, but I'm guessing it's more than 80% now of the homeowner's dooryard citrus has this bacteria. And although there's some interesting research going on in California, it's too early to really give any help to citrus. And if somebody were to ask me to buy a citrus tree right now, I'd try to discourage them.
I give them the facts and tell them that, you know, it's not going, we can put it in and it won't have citrus greening, but it will get it and it's not going to last very long.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So if we have citrus, Ed, what should we be doing?
Well, we should do the best we can for reducing stress on the trees, making sure they get adequate water. And a lot of us think that this rain we get every afternoon during the rainy season may be adequate. You've got to have a rain gauge or something around there to see how much water you're actually getting every week. They need at least an inch of water, maybe a little bit more. Water adequately and then fertilize 3 or 4 times a year. Don't skip out on the fertilizer. If the plant can't get the nutrients it needs to make food for itself, it's going to be under stress, and that'll cause problems. Get mulch and grass from underneath the tree canopy. That grass and mulch right up next to the trunk of the tree can lead to root rot systems. If your tree's less than 3 years old, just don't expect a lot from it. You might get a fruit now and then. And you want to be growing a root system during that period of time and not producing fruit. And it'll take about 5 to 7 years to get reliable fruit production, and just keep your fingers crossed. And it's really a greater likelihood that no matter how much care you give your citrus right now, you're going to get the bacteria. But the tree can live a little bit with the bacteria as long as you try to reduce the stress as much as possible. And some people will not take their trees out of the ground. And if they want to keep them in the ground, that's fine. But I mentioned to them that as long as it's tasty, you're probably going to be okay. But once you start losing the flavor on it, get the tree out of the ground and get rid of it.
Ed, is there any citrus citrus that is less susceptible to citrus greening?
No, not really. All citrus is susceptible to it. Now, these things they're calling the finger citrus varieties out of Australia appear to be the ones that we're looking at. They don't seem to be having an issue with it, but that's not commonly grown in our backyards right now.
Yeah. So do we still need to treat for pests then?
Oh, absolutely. The more you get the pest under control, the sooner you get them under the control, the less stress on the tree. There's no treatment for citrus greening. The insect that passes the disease can be controlled by insecticides, but once it lands on the trees and passes the bacteria and then ingests the insecticide, it's too late for you at that time. You want to read and follow the label directions on any pesticides you use to make sure you get the best results, because adding a little more is not going to be better, and not giving it enough is probably not going to be better. And there's a lot of snake oil on the Internet right now, recipes for home remedies. And,
oh, my goodness.
Remember, they're selling something, and that's a good chance that they're not going to tell you that it may not work. So you could cause more harm than good if you follow some of those recommendations, and it's just a drain on your wallet.
Yeah. So if a person puts in a new citrus tree, we get new residents, they do put them in, how do they know when to pick the fruits?
First of all, they got to remember what variety of citrus they had. And that's usually a tough one, a homeowner. They just don't remember what kind of citrus they got. They just say it's an orange or a grapefruit or a tangerine, but we don't know which ones. But if we do know the specific varieties, oranges like Hamlin, Parson Brown, Navel, and Valencias, they'll be ready between March and June to harvest. Grapefruits like Duncan and Ruby are ready around December to May. Marsh and Red Blush grapefruits are ready from November to May. Mandarins and mandarin types, and that's our tangerines and stuff, from November through December. Meyer lemon is from November to March. And I guess if you just wanted to guess about it, most citrus will be ready around December to harvest. Yeah. So you've got some time yet, even if your citrus is setting fruit right now. Don't be in a hurry. It's not just simply not going to mature right there on the, after you harvest it. It has to mature on the tree.
Can you still eat the fruit, Ed, if it's got like sooty mold on it or rust on it? Can you still eat the fruit?
Oh, absolutely. Those are just surface imperfections and more aesthetics than anything else. Just make sure you clean them up, wash them well, and enjoy them.
Yep. And if you don't know when to pick the fruit and you think it might be right, give it the taste test. I mean, that's the real test, and we can sort of
get your kids to taste test.
Well, I have to tell you a story. When I first came to Florida, we had citrus in our backyard, and I was new to Florida, and so I picked this fruit off and I gave it to my son Jeffrey, and I said, "Look at this bright orange, you're gonna love it." Turned out to be a Meyer lemon.
Oh no. I guess he had a few words for you, huh?
Yeah, well, he was only about 1 year, 1 to 2, so.
Oh, okay.
That's why he doesn't like oranges today. No,
he scarred his memory for life.
Yeah, right. Hey, Ed, got any classes coming up?
Yeah, I got class today. I'm talking about the basics of vegetable garden. This will be the last time I'll talk about it until January. We've had quite a bit of turnout. I've done the class 3 times now since August, I guess, and fall lawn care, believe it or not, is coming up. It's that time to think about it. Next month, we ought to be fertilizing again. And common and not so common trees for Central Florida, Dr. John Roberts is going to talk about trees. And, of course, our agriculture agent, J.K. Yarbrough, will be talking about backyard chicken training. So got to register online, but make sure.
And they can be anywhere in the state and still check in on these classes if they're available.
We've had people out of the country who's checked into these classes. Yes, we've had a couple of people from England recently join us in one of our classes. It was kind of interesting.
How about that? Well, we thank you very much for being with us and bringing us up to date on citrus care. And what we're going to do now is take a break. And when we come back, Donnie's going to be with us, and she's going to be talking about something that makes us sneeze. We often blame goldenrod, but it's not goldenrod. Goldenrod's a native here in Florida, and I don't know whether this other plant that she's going to be talking about is native or not. You can text us, 23680, or you can get ready to call us at 407-916-5400. I'm Tom McCubbin. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Baseball is back. Major League Baseballs are handmade with cork, latex, yarn, and leather. It's an extremely labor-intensive process, so it can stand up to the pounding. Each piece of baseball equipment is important, but the baseball itself is the league's most prized creation. Without it, the game just can't go on. Likewise, but more complex, God knits us together, miraculously fine-tuned to face the difficulties of life. Although our current circumstances can make us feel fragile and weak, The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's impossible to understand how complex our bodies and minds are, but we know God created us to withstand the hard times. But we don't have to do it alone. He came in Jesus to show us the way. So take time today and thank God for His most prized creation, you and your fellow man. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
Visit rightfromtheheart.org and click television to watch our TV spots. That's rightfromtheheart.org.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
You've got the Earth and the Moon the same distance from the Sun, but there's a 60-degree difference in temperature, and that difference is basically 2 trillion tons of naturally occurring carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Today, we have 3 trillion tons of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. If 2 trillion tons makes a 60-degree difference, 1 trillion tons of extra carbon dioxide is really going to warm things up. Learn more at volofoundation.org.
Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.betterlawns.com. Better Lawns and Gardens with Tom McCubbin. We'll be right back.
This year, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is everywhere. Every suburban sidewalk, every busy avenue, every scenic path, everywhere. All of us are raising funds for one goal: a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia. Because this disease isn't waiting, neither are you. Take the first step on your walk right now. Go to alz.org/walk and join the movement.
Companies claim to be licensed and insured and perform criminal background checks, even when they don't. How do you tell the imposters from the real deal? Ask the SEAL. The SEAL of Security and Confidence from TheSEAL.com verifies license, insurance, and performs criminal and sex offender checks on the actual employees who interact with your family. Hiring the wrong company can result in costly repairs, denied insurance claims, theft, or even physical harm. Demand the SEAL of Security and Confidence from TheSEAL.com.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Happy to have you with us. Teresa and Joni and I are here with you also. And we've got a little text here. It says, I have a lecture today at 9:30 on planting a fall vegetable garden. That's from Peterson Nursery in Lakeland. Howie, Karen, and Charlene are there for you. And that lecture is at 9:30 on planting a fall vegetable garden. And that's at Peterson Nursery in Lakeland. So we're all getting busy with our gardens, and mine is planted, just been beat down just a little bit. Tell you what, let's get Joni in. What do you say? There you go.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning to you, too. Okay, I guess many of you don't need to be told, but it's the season for sneezing and watery eyes.
Yep.
Oh, well, it's hay fever time. Not caused by hay at all, but most often by the pollen of ragweed. Unfortunately, here in Florida, there are about 15 different types.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I've been out counting.
Okay, good.
The scientific name for ragweed is Ambrosia, which means food of the gods. I'm sure some people think there could be another name for these very irritating plant that is in the same family as the sunflower.
Huh.
Goldenrod was blamed by causing hay fever for a long time, but that's just not the case. It's just that the goldenrod also bloomed at the same time and was much more obvious with its beautiful golden yellow flowers. But nearby lurks the unnoticed ragweed. Ragweed does well during hot times. That is the time when the plant grows best and forms the most pollen. In these conditions, persists the pollen dispersible is very high. The good news is when the humidity levels are above 70%, it's difficult for the plant to release its pollen. Peak pollen time for the ragweed is from August through November. Remember that pollen grains stick to hair, your skin, and clothing. Pollen can also be carried even on dog or cat fur. Preventative of measures might include staying inside with the air conditioning on, showering after you've been outdoors, and shampooing your pet often. Peak pollen times are between 5 and 10 a.m. This is the time when the pollen is the highest. You also might want to avoid being outside on hot, dry, or windy days. So to save yourself a lot of misery, you know that, learn to recognize ragweed, especially when it's a young plant and before it flowers. Pull it up, cut it down, or spray it with a non-selective weed killer before it begins to release pollen.
Yeah, and it causes you to sniff and sneeze and watery eyes.
It could, yes.
And get to know ragweed because it can be a common weed. I see it popping up in my yard. And I know it's coming from the nursery.
Are you pulling it out?
I pull it out, yeah.
That's good.
Teresa, you ever see ragweed?
I do, especially in when you have an empty lot next to a house in a community.
Yeah.
Then you see it, and then when they start to mow, then two houses, three houses down, you start to get the ragweed in the air. So
I know. You know, it's a common weed, so if it causes you problems, don't blame it on the goldenrod. Yeah.
Guilt by association.
That's exactly right. Do we have any phone calls or do you want text message?
No phone calls. Let's go to the text.
Okay, and if you want to give us a call, now is the time. 407-916-5400. 407-916-5400. I got a couple of them here. Let's see, a number of them, actually. Let's see. This is one here. It says, good morning. Why would my avocado, whoop, I just lost it there. There it goes. Avocado leaves have brown spots, and what can I do? Can more than one avocado grow from one pit? My guess is those brown spots is probably lace bug damage. If you turn the leaf over, you might see the insects or some of the excreta from on the bottom of the leaf. It could be a fungal leaf spot also, but you've got to figure out which it is, and you can have that identified at your local extension office, sometimes garden centers, or you can send me a picture, and I'd be happy to look at it, TomMack1996@AOL.com. Avocados do get spots on the leaves, and can more than one avocado grow from one pit? Yes, it can. You may get more than one, but normally you get one. Teresa, you have any follow-up on that?
No, you did it. You said it exactly right. And if they don't know, how is the bay laurel disease on the avocados? Have you heard anything updated on that?
You know, in South Florida, you hear about it, but I have not kept up with it. So the bay laurel disease can affect the avocados, of course, can also affect camphor trees. They're all related, but hasn't been in the news here lately. So.
No, I haven't seen it at all. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, and people locally here who've had the disease in the past and put in new avocados don't seem to have the problem. So maybe this is one that's kind of dying down. I don't know.
Excellent.
Yep. Okay, here's one for you. Let's see if we've got enough time. I tell you what, we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, I've got a question for you. I'll give you a warm-up on this one here. They have a lemon tree. They want to know if they can keep it in containers or put it in the ground. And Teresa will tell us when we come back. Right, Teresa?
There you go.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, and you can call us if you want, 407-916-5400, or you can text me at 23680 with your questions or comments. We're always happy to hear from you. So we'll be right back. This is Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
And now a message from Barry Zeckelman, Chairman and CEO of Zeckelman Industries.
Dear America, let's manufacture a better future. Let's get back to looking for made in America on the things we buy. Let's bring back domestic manufacturing. Let's build the factories, warehouses, and businesses that build community. might jumpstart the career of a recent grad, provides the family down the street with a decent paycheck, and real benefits, the kind that benefit us all. Did you know that every job in manufacturing creates 5 more in related businesses? Let's give our economy a shot in the arm, and let's take care of the environment while we're at it. Factories in this country are built to the highest standards and are the cleanest, greenest, and safest in the world. Join the conversation. It's happening all around us. Let's take care of each other. Let's make it here. Let's make it made in America.
Zeckelmann Industries is a family-owned, 100% domestic manufacturing company. Makers of innovative steel structures and products that lets the water flow, keeps the lights on, and help builders build. Zeckelmann.com.
This year, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is everywhere. Every suburban sidewalk, every busy avenue, every scenic path, everywhere. All of us are raising funds for one goal: a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia. Because this disease isn't waiting, neither are you. Take the first step on your walk right now. Go to alz.org/walk and join the movement.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life, and they need your help so they can continue saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 24 hours a day, 800-993-1368. Your donation could literally save women's lives. Call today, 800-993-1368. 800-993-1368.
Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.betterlawns.com. Better Lawns and Gardens with Tom McCubbin. We'll be right back.
Good news! The affordable laminate floors you love now feature waterproof capabilities. Hi, Nancy at Creative Floors. Now you can install this affordable flooring in more rooms of your home, like the kitchens and baths, with confidence that it will withstand the mess of everyday chaos. Pets and kids are no match for waterproof laminate flooring. Visit us at creativefloorsonline.com for locations and stop by one of our showrooms and let the experts at Creative Floors show you the great selection and savings on these beautiful floors.
Orlando Painting Company is open for business and the official painting contractor of WFLA's Home Improvement Show. Orlando Painting Company is available to paint the exterior of your home and select interior projects as long as they follow CDC guidelines. Call 407-839-3839 to speak with an OPC professional. While our lives have changed, Orlando Painting Company is still here to provide professional, safe painting services for you. Call 407-839-3839. Online, OrlandoPaintingCompany.com.
If you're tired of paying for cable news, tune into Newsmax TV right now for free. Get real news with shows from Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Alan Dershowitz, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems, or get it free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, or your smart TV. So save money and watch Newsmax TV, or download the free app from your smartphone and start watching right now.
We're still here. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
And thanks for stopping by this morning. We're going to share Better Lawns and Gardens. Teresa, Joni, and I are here to help you and provide, we hope, some good information. It's been a good, pretty good program so far. That's from my
yes. Goodness.
Yeah, good. There's two of us agree. And Joni's shaking her head, too. Yeah, well, she's got her thumbs up. So we're in good shape. Hey, Teresa, I want to know about the lemon trees. Do I put them in pots or do I put them in the ground?
You can do either one. You just got to make sure that the ones in the pots have good potting, you know, good soil, and that you're fertilizing, and that the pot's big enough. So I would definitely start off with an either 7-gallon or a 15-gallon pot. So you can do either or.
Yeah, and my guess is that pot's going to have to grow over time, right? Get bigger?
It's going to have to grow, or they can kind of bonsai the roots and keep it in there. What I would do is if you want to keep it in that same pot and it's big enough, when I say that, I mean it's got to be at least 15 gallons. You want to have a good root ball, good space for that, for those roots. But you can take it out of the pot every couple of years and, you know, take a third of the roots off, put more soil back in, and put it back in that same pot, but it's got to be big enough.
Very good. And if you put it in the ground, they are susceptible to freezes. So sooner or later, we're going to get a freeze. It's just going to happen.
Exactly.
You know, so if you keep it in a pot, you can move it around to where you want it. It reminds me of some years ago, I had a lime, and we had warm winters. This was during the 70s. And I eventually put it in the ground, and that was the year we got a freeze. So anyway, let's go to the phone calls. What do you say?
We do. We have, let's go to Charlotte in Plant City. Good morning, Charlotte.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, all, thank you all for being there and being real troopers and answering our questions.
We're happy to do it. Yeah, how can we help you today?
Well, today my question has to do with lemon trees. And specifically, I have one that I planted a couple of years ago. It is approximately 9 to 10 foot tall now. And one of the main stalks is leaning over really bad. And so I wanted to know, should I be topping any of those longer limbs or branches?
Well, that's a pretty big tree, actually, for a lemon. And, yeah, you can go ahead and cut them back. That's okay. Now, the one that's leaning over, is it leaning away from a building or another tree or something like that?
There's an elderberry tree behind it.
It's looking for sun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always going to want to lean. But you can go ahead and prune it. You have my permission to do it. Teresa, what do you think?
Go ahead and do it. This is a good time.
Okay, very good then. That's what I needed to know. Thank you so much. Y'all have a good day.
Charlotte, you got permission from all of us here.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tom, we have a call from Kenny in Groveland. Good morning, Kenny.
Hi, Kenny. We got about a minute. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I also have a lemon tree that's really well-established and good. I got another one next to it that I planted about 4 years ago, but it never takes off. And I'm wondering, should I top that to maybe stimulate it or just let it go?
You know, Kenny, if it's not growing, by topping it, you're not going to stimulate it.
Right.
You're going to have to go through and redig that one and reset it.
Look at the root ball.
Yeah, you got a root ball problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thank you. And now's a good time to trim oranges and lemons?
Well, yes.
Yeah, you trim it when you need to. If you had to pick the very best time on my side, it would be probably late February. But if you need to do trimming now, go ahead and do it.
Okay, cool. Thank you all. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. We've got just a little bit of time left here. It says, how can I store seeds, vegetable seeds, and fruit seeds for planting? What should I do to store them? My thought is you put them in a plastic bag and you put them in the refrigerator. Teresa?
That's what I would do. I also use a little white envelope and then put that in a plastic bag.
Yeah, write on them what it is.
Exactly.
It helps the next time you need it. Some people will use a jar also. They'll put them in a tight sealed jar. And Joni here allows me to have one drawer in the refrigerator, which is kind of nice.
That's one drawer.
Yeah, just one drawer. And then I can get them out when I need them. And they'll keep for a good while in the refrigerator.
They will.
Yep, very good. So I tell you what, we're coming back. Emma Biggs is going to be with us, and she's 15 years old. She grows lots of tomatoes, and she also is a garden communicator. So we're going to be talking with her. And, of course, we look forward to your phone calls also. You may hold off until we're done with the interview, but the number here is 407-916-5400. And, of course, the text message is at any time, 23680. We'll be back with you. This is Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin, Extension Agent Emeritus with the University of Florida, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.